the wand, a puff of smoke, and the magic man pulls one out of the hat.
I still can't believe it happened.
Welcome to the Moreau's Magic Podcast, the second one for the pre-season 2024. With me, as always, Zave Eros. G'day, Zave.
Mate, it's twice we've done this now, this pre-season, I guess you'd call it. You've turned up. You think you're some sort of cricket commentator because you've got the handheld sort of microphone. I'm sitting opposite Richie Beno over here, and you've got these headphones. I think you're going pretty well to wear them. Like, we used to have headphones. and now you've upgraded. You've seen Kyle Sanderlands on his program wearing them or whoever it is, and now you think you're some sort of media mogul.
Mate, you look
like an absolute knob, and twice now you've got, I can't hear. They're not plugged in.
Well, they're not by design. You heard us last week, or last time we recorded, came here, we forgot headphones and forgot a mic. Then the second time, I remember my night.
And then we went to go play golf, and a follow-on of that, we went to play golf after, and there was a group of 35 waiting to tee off the first hole. That ended poorly for us. We had a bad day, didn't we?
Well, anyway, it shows how bad I'm going at the moment because I still haven't got my headphones. We're still in my house and haven't got the stand for the mic. So, yes, Richie Beno,
yeah.
two for two. Speaking of, how's my boys, the Windies?
Yeah, so I'm a Pakistanian and you're a Windy.
Well, I'm a Pakistanian probably a month a year, every 3 years. But I'll jump on the Windies now. Gee, I love them.
Sheesh. Hear that young fella, first ball, he told his mates he's going to get a wicket. I didn't know it was going to be Steve Smith. Oh, I love it.
Now, footy, bit of news. Funny, I don't know if it's coming earlier or whatever it is, but still early Jan or mid-Jan, 18th of Jan, we're recording this.
Mm.
Thought today what we'll do, recap a bit of the news which has come through and then go through early rankings or what I call the best 22, best six defenders, top eight mids, two rucks and six forwards.
Getting emotional about it by the sounds.
Now, something's in my throat, yeah, mate.
Have a little sip of water. Throw to me and then have a little sip of water.
This is when you get back on the beer. Your new health retreat, your soda streams, there's no beers anymore.
The soda streams, the only thing is at work, and it works so well, and I don't know if the boss likes it or not, I need to go to the bathroom so often now. I'll be mid-meeting and I just disappear through the offices, have a chat to the sales girls, how's everything over there, have a quick whiz and then come back. But
at least it's not what you used to do on time for a beer. If you don't remember, and every time, I think weekly, you still get a tweet saying, bring back time for a beer. You used to do this record, which I like the concept. You spoke about the beer you were drinking, because you can tell a lot about a person.
Yeah, what are you sipping on your end? Yeah.
How crafty is it? How long you get stuck in me because I drink my mid-strengths every time.
Well, I don't get stuck in. I just feel like occasionally you can get out of missionary and have a bit of fun.
So you drink your scooters though, so you might as well be drinking a mint stream.
That's all
liquid.
Yeah.
Anyway, you had that one which would be a good topic at the moment if you got Brownie back on. But you had Brownie on there for a couple of hour pod. You asked the question, you nip off to the sink.
No, that's unfair.
It
defeated my rule of never editing a podcast.
Yeah.
So I couldn't turn it off. So I had to
told me a few things, and that is a big one.
I had to find a way.
Never editing a podcast.
Never edit a podcast. Keep it clean, keep it straight, and away you go.
Which gets so tricky with you on the other end of the mic every now and then, particularly when you're talking fantasy footy. So, news coming in this week before we get into early ranks for the upcoming season. Obviously, the Clarin news has come in. I still had him pretty high on the board, but let's hope he gets back.
I think you hear Max Gawn yesterday on the Marty Sheargold show in Melbourne. Max Gawn's got a weekly segment in there. He was asked just straight and down, how's Clayton Oliver going? And I think you know how not biased I am to Clayton Oliver. I think he's top three best player in the competition.
Well, probably, you say
best, yeah. I've just dropped him back one or two. But I thought he was the best player in the competition. And I think the wording, and I'm paraphrasing Max, he said he's dealing with significant challenges, especially over the last couple of weeks. So something like that. Unfortunately, I don't really like to talk. Hopefully, and Max said if he wants to be at the footy club, come to the footy club and it's going to be the best, we'll have the most fun ever. But if you need to be somewhere else, that's where you need to be and we support whatever you need to do. So that doesn't sound like someone who's going to be turning up anytime soon. So
they obviously were missing him for big chunks at the back end of last year. But
their
midfield rotation, again, these aren't big names I'm throwing at you, but they've also lost James Jordan and James Harms.
I made an outlandish statement about James Jordan one night with a few tucked under the belt. So I'm glad you throw him into those conversations because I made some stupid comment about James Jordan.
He'll be all right this year.
Yeah, no, I thought my point around that about James Jordan was Melbourne have a lot of stars, Petrarca, Clary, et cetera. But I think their games were more won around the middle, those middle rung players. And I said James Jordan was like a, not a barometer, but like if he's having 24 touches.
Well, he was when he first came into the comp, and it's not a James Jordan pod. But then he got pushed out when they went and got Langdon and Hunter, and he lost that wing spot in out. So who knows what's going to happen to me. But so they've lost those two. What's their midfield mix going to be? Like, are we talking Angus Brayshaw is going
to
be back?
Yeah, Angus will have to be in there. Lockie Hunter's injured, did I read just that? I think I did, yeah. So the wings
are going to... Obviously, Viney. Petrarca, they love spending more time
forward. Has to play midfield.
He'll be back in the midfield. Sparrow gets a lot of time. They give him a lot of time in there, don't they?
He must be one of those... But do you think that's a Viney version, isn't it? The tough... Not the does the hard yards. I'm a Sparrow man. We interviewed Sparrow's mum and dad before the 2021 grand final. Sparrow played in that, didn't he?
Yeah.
And the mum was like, thank you so much for the interview. And then we bumped into each other in the crowd.
Just by chance.
Yeah, and that was so lovely.
So, yeah, Jordan 27%, Harms 27%, Oliver when he was playing 80%. So we'll go through our rankings.
There's no,
I
there's
haven't
no
got
hidden,
Angus Brayshaw.
There's no hidden tricks. Like, they're going to be throwing everything in there.
So it should be Viney, Petrarca, Angus with Sparrow popping in there and maybe a bit of run.
But that's hoping they're injury-free.
We mentioned the two, and I'll get a rookie expert on as part of the season guide before the season kicks off.
I hosted a draft night podcast.
Yeah, maybe you're that rookie expert.
I could be.
I enjoyed it.
After Harley Reid, I didn't have a lot more to add.
Well, unfortunately, because I'm a Freo fan, I'm a big Luke, and he sounds a rip-up like Lukey Jackson, and he had some big guests on that little thing he did via streamer.
Yeah.
Shout out Rennie. But just about to do West Coast first pick, the great white hope, and then all of a sudden dialing in is old Lukey Jackson.
Lukey Jackson.
What's your thought? Oh, yeah, mate, I think he'll be pretty good, eh? But the talk from this week, I think Jai Simpkin came out and said he hasn't seen a rookie like McKercher in his time then. It was only a year ago they had Harry Sheasel come to the club and do what he did.
Yeah,
And he's going to be playing off the half-back flank by the sound.
Well, Wardlaw, another one that they came
Wardlaw
in and they were impressed by.
He would have seen LDU rock up, yeah. I imagine. They obviously had Jason Horne-Francis as well. So,
yeah, but he didn't do a great deal his first year, to be honest.
Big raps on McKerch. And they all talk about this new age thing. We'll talk about Harley Reid, who I don't think anyone had him earmarked to play half-back flank. That half-forward draws worst role in the game.
Yeah, shocking.
Well, don't you wish they could go back Jack Watts off a half-back flank in his first year, you know?
I ran into Jack Watts at a pub the other night in Melbourne.
Apparently he's a ripper.
Yeah, he's a good fella. Came up and gave us a big hug, and he's a nice guy. He full as a tick, as we all were, but he'd had a good day.
Yeah,
I think
he enjoys a good day all day.
Yeah.
Old Watts.
But you're right, Jack Watts and those guys.
Because you go back at it. It hasn't just started recently. Nah. Like, Lukey Hodge, I know he played a bit of defence as a junior, but his first year half-back flank. Brennan Goddard, half-back flank. Bryce Gibbs came in. So it's not a new thing, get this early draft pick off the half-back flank.
Yeah.
This day and age, half-back's a lot easier than they were back then as well.
Especially if you can be a little bit more agile. The old thing that used to happen was the young kid used to play back pocket.
Mm.
So it was almost as hard as half-forward because you're not after the footy. You're literally 15 metres out from goal and you're full-time defence. Now it's like everyone up the ground.
Yeah, do what you
run
want.
Run around, try and get a kick, get a switch if you need one. And
we'll talk about Sheezo in a bit when we go through the rankings, but we want, it's best for his fancy game to play that halfback role because he doesn't have to play on anyone. You win, the footy gets in your lap, whereas midfield you've got to win your own footy and halfback you've got someone on your clack or you're running up for the road. I didn't imagine Harley Reid to be coming off the halfback flank.
I'm surprised by that. I thought he might have been... 50% midfield.
Mm.
I'm not sure how big his engine is. I don't think it's at an elite level yet. And then 50% forward pocket. You know, like getting to the feet of Oscar Allen.
Because it's good, I doubt anyone, and this is kind of where the game's moved, where before Guns and Rooks, you just want basement, whereas now we know, spend up on those best rookies because they can be, the rookies of this day and age, as ready-made as they ever have been. We've seen Sheasel, Dacos the last couple of years. He becomes an absolute off a halfback flank. I'm excited to see what because the raps on him, obviously Simo came out during the week and said, there's never been more hyped draftee ever. And Simo's words were, just to add fuel to the fire, he's going to live up to the hype.
Yeah, but I don't know whether that's Simo being a coach who goes, I can see three or four bits of your game that'll transfer to the actual game winning, like Petrarca, Dusty.
Mm.
Not, he runs around training and has 15 kicks in match sim. Like that's... I want version A of, gee whiz, he's done five things that you just go, shit, add 5 years in the gym and the power and all that sort of stuff to it. That's gonna, he's powerful now, but that was against kids. He needs to be powerful against the men.
Well, we also overheard someone at West Coast say, because I think the question was, well, yes, he's this big boy against kids. How much more development can he do? And I think the answer was, well, he's already our best player, so he doesn't need to develop much more.
Low bar.
Yeah, low bar. Well, speaking of low bar, he might have to be. So another year, West Coast, what, TK, Gaunt, hamstring, Liam Ryan.
Hamstring.
There's another one in there too, so we might see that more midfield time for him. So that will be interesting to see what happens there. Obviously, does a match sim normally start this early as well in the preseason?
So I think some teams do it early just to – it's the hardest form of training in my eyes is match sim because you're just up and back, up and back. And you're not tackling and drilling and nailing. It's like
– free-flowing.
And more – so a perfect example of the exercise towards match sim would be you're in the forward pocket, right, and it's stoppage, and then old teabag, the bloody coach, goes – stoppage on the back flank. Yeah. And you're like, there's your 150-metre sprint.
Set up.
Get it done. So it's set-ups, it's match-ups, it's stoppages, it's exercise, it's the whole kit. It's not just like, throw it up in the middle and let's play a game of footy.
But it's what you want anyway as a player. Like, that's a lot more fun than running.
Oh, God, yeah.
And that's when old Kane, he loves that excuse to get stuck at a West Coast, but when someone come out and said, oh, there's a lot more balls involved in the running.
Yeah.
These teams have been doing it for the last five.
But I think you said 20.
20. And they've won a flag in that time.
And I did say it coincides with a 20-year reunion for Port Adelaide. Volcano.
Nothing since.
No, we do like the volcano.
But we're starting to hear news, which is great. Hayden Young sounds like he's 100%
If I had to go for a tip straight away right now, McKerchick will score higher than Harley Reid.
Mm. Yep. Well, he did in the juniors in the same...
I'd say, I wouldn't even think it's going to be close.
Fisher down back, getting some good news coming through. Bad news coming through. Will Day, our boy, we love him, but what does that mean for that midfield mix of Hawks? Like, there's a lot of players there.
You know, it's foot.
Yeah, potentially in the Vic. Stress fractures.
Potentially, okay. That's, yeah.
But are we now talking our boy who we were all over last year and we just didn't get it, being a Josh Ward who only saw 20% centre bounces.
We love Josh Ward.
Nothing for the last five games. Is he going to step up? Is it going to be Newcomb who, as good as he was only a 70% CBA man. Will he go up to 80%?
So I think the talk was Amon's going to go back.
Yeah, he finished the year down back. So he's stayed, got a bit of buzz.
Oh, no, sorry. Amon to come up to the wing, Ward to go in. And that's not talk to Sam Mitchell, who's been bloody crook. Apparently.
Yeah.
He rang me randomly not long ago, before he went to New York, and he was like, oh, how good, it's, family, a white Christmas or whatever in New York, can't wait, the kids, I promised them, and the poor bastard spent a long time in
And then
the
he
hospital.
Lost his passport after all that.
Nah, bloody shocking run.
Joseph Forfa, by the way, just got Starkey. Because then the other names, which are people who are pretty hot on, are Cam McKenzie. Does he start seeing more? So it's going to be interesting to see what that plays out. We're going to do our club previews, or not so much preview, but at least a projection of that CBA rotation as the guide comes out. But what we're here for today is to go through the early rankings for defenders, mids, rucks, forwards, being the tops of those lines, who we think the best 22 is.
Don't know about that.
What do you mean, don't know about that?
Well, I like to keep it behind the closed door, mate, to be honest.
Well, it's firstly with that, mid-January.
When is
season guide? So thanks for those who have jumped on already, marrowsmagic.com.au.
You do the early subscribers.
Pre-register 100% of pre-registers up to the 20, which will definitely fit in within the 26-2 Starlight. And that should become live early Feb, we're shooting towards. So you can jump on there or wait till it's out or whatever it is. But
get the excitement, get in there and have some fun. Get ready to rock and roll.
But this time last year, we were doing our rankings. There was no way Goulden was in my top six, and he comes out and scores at 170 in the preseason.
How long was I saying to you end of last year, as soon as the market's open on Goulden, I'm going to back him for the
short.
No, but yeah, this was 10 weeks out, 9 weeks out, 8 weeks out, and then he jumped third favourite or something.
Then there was no way we were talking about a Tom Green who came out and had 50 touches in there, intra-club this time last year.
My boy.
Your boy Tom Green. So much changes in terms of the makeup. This year we've got the overlay of this opening round. So we mentioned last week, you wouldn't want to start a premium who has at least one of those round two or three buys. So yes, we might have them ranked up highly, but doesn't mean start with them. And even regardless, you're not starting with a lot of these players anyway, because you're wanting to pick those players, especially with his two trades, use or lose, who aren't, might not be keepers the whole way through, but are going to make enough cash and score well enough for you to then upgrade your teams quicker enough. And this best 22 or rolling 22 probably won't become relevant until upgrade season, round 12, 13, 14. But we'll kick it up off with the easiest of all.
How many of these am I going to strongly disagree? No, how many of these am I going to get annoyed by, you reckon?
Well, I was doing it looking at myself. I'm always getting a little bit... It's hard to...
Little ones like when you go, oh, Jack Zeebly. Like, oh,
it's hard for me to go really rogue without any proper pre-season matches to see roles, see scoring, to see the breakouts. So I'm looking at them. It's very similar to last year's finish, which is a bit boring, to be honest.
And PS, Jack Zeebly loved, just the, when they went in that chipping mindset and North were getting pumped, I didn't think that was a good version of football.
Yeah.
Just to clarify around that.
What's going to happen in that role this year with... both Zeeble gone, Aaron Hall gone, Sheezel playing midfield. That's where McKercher comes in. Does it Zach Fisher comes? Does Luke McDonald throw wind it back?
No. I think they just get the five of their young kids, put them in position 1A and then work backwards from there.
So the easiest pick of the lot, D1, Nick Dacos, who knows, could end up being M1 going into 2025 in a year's time.
Would you be surprised if it was a Tom Mitchell $1.20 for the Brownlow at round 16?
No.
No.
The only thing is that last game and Hawks beat Collingwood when Finn McGuinness, I know he only played 2.5 quarters before he then went off injured, and everyone's saying, oh, he just doesn't want to hack Finn McGuinness. He's running around there with a broken leg.
And a broken leg, yeah.
Missed the next six. So teams should be putting more time into him, because the whole thing on, I know DeGoey is... it's like we rate him very, very
just to
go, highly.
That upsets you still, don't you? Because we got on the beers one night and thought it was Fremantle. I know. It was when you guys got bundled by Collingwood in that final. Mm. And we thought we'd solved all the problems of Fremantle's world by going all in on Jordan DeGoey. Spark, excitement, skill, forward half power, match winner. And now we think he's probably one of the best five players in the comp.
So maybe you can't just shut down Dacos. But yeah, I think you'll have to get more attention. And the thing, we're not talking so much whether you start this player or not, but he's got his Hawks matchup early in the year. I think it could be round 4.
Yeah, I don't trust Sam Mitchell.
You can throw another curveball.
And all of a sudden, DeGoey's got it. You know, it's too hard, too early.
But sometimes you overcomplicate things. Lots of people didn't start with Nick Dacos last year because he tagged him in the preseason. Yeah. But they weren't meeting him until round 21 or whatever.
Nah,
he didn't get tagged until round
21.
He's not
going to run around for free.
And then he did go to him. And then he's got his buy. So the obvious time to start with Dacos, we post that buy. He'll hopefully be cheaper than his, what's his price tag, a 109 price tag. Gets a one tag game in there, gets the buy, then you can jump on after that. Second, D2, again, it's a bit boring because it's where he finished the season last year. But people have him regressing. James Sicily.
So I think he's got a bit of Nick Dacos about him.
As in?
Tag him.
Well, you have to, yeah. Well, the times he did get tagged last year, or the times he had the field days, those upsets.
Remember when I think it was Collingwood?
St Kilda.
I think it was Collingwood.
Yeah.
They tried to tag him. And I think they thought Mick Stay or Majacek or one of those guys in his mind was like, no, I'm a pretty experienced player. Like, I'm sure you won't get too far off me. And I reckon he had something like 80% marks at halftime. Then he was just like, see you later.
Well, then he got, well, because they lost that game.
Yeah.
And McRae gets home. And even his wife said something Sicily.
And he goes, we tried.
I'm no expert, but I feel like he'd be better playing on a defensive forward that size where he actually does get those intercepts. The ones which would get him would be more when Melksham did the role on him. Someone whose purely role isn't to be a target and make a contest.
It's just nil all draws.
Yeah, so
winner.
Not at all. You almost play a bit of a mid size on him. And also the marks, he got so many marks last year. Hopefully Hawks, well, they will be. I think they've played it perfectly, getting that early draft pick while the picks are still there before Tassie comes in. Their kids are all going to develop together. They're going to try to... like, there's an argument to say they might push for the 8 this year.
Will
so
they?
There won't be that's going to hurt them. But they reckon he might even miss the first 1 or 2 weeks. But there might be less of that chip back there from in terms of what Sicily's going to get.
They didn't really chippity chip. Like, they went pretty hard when they got. They were reasonably exciting to watch, to be fair. And I know I'm speaking through some rose-coloured glasses. But if you were to describe Hawthorn's game style, I would say they were pretty attacking. Like, Sicily was getting up the ground and taking those grabs and stuff.
Yeah, so I've still got him going at D2. Jack Sinclair, again, that's is pretty vanilla, but Jack Sinclair, D3, despite his strong finish the last year, he actually was a better scorer than Sicily post-bye. He went 108 when his centre bounces started to drop, and he went back to that half-back running role. I just feel that Wanganeen Malira is going to get that little bit better.
He's a nice footballer.
Very nice footballer. The ball's going to be in his hands a little bit more than it was even last year. If it's in the midfield, like, he was their spark in the midfield going through there. They had no pace. Now they've got, whether it's a Zach Jones coming back through, whether it's a, they throw an Owens or...
Well, they've moved, of course,
a Winhager back
Billings
there.
Away, so...
So while I think he's, and he hasn't got the early bye, while I think he's going to not regress completely, I'm more confident in Sicily than a Sinclair. Got Sinclair D3. Here's one little one who wasn't there last year.
There
I think
go.
Last year coming off a 95 average. D4, Lockie Whitfield. Finished last year post bye with a 101 average. Last five, 104 in the finals. He went at 103. He's not going to be the 110-plus Whitfield he's been in the past, because he's got to deal with a Himmelberg taking possessions, got to deal with a Lockie Ash back there. Doesn't have to deal with an Isaac Cumming, who I think this time last year I had him at D7 or D8.
And I drafted him in my draft. It was early. He was a disaster.
Disaster. Whereas, and they've got a new coach who wants to go a little bit quicker than what Leon used to let them do. But the way he finished the year, 104, like, he looked Whitfield of old.
And then didn't overcomplicate it too much with him. I think, you know, we had those things where it was like, Greater Western Sydney's first set of bounce, and they've got Jesse Hogan in the middle. Yeah. They've got a ruckman. They've got Josh Kelly at full back. They've got Cornelio in the forward pocket. You're like, what are you doing? Like, just put your best players in the best spots. And I think they started doing that, and we saw the results for nearly all of them.
And he's always had a few, like, he had that early suspension that year. He had the kidney issue 1 year.
Yeah.
He's had early concussions.
He missed a bit last year early too, out of, from memory.
Oh, he played the 24 last year.
It might have been the year before he had that.
It's been a while before he's got himself.
Yeah.
Pre-buy, he was 91.
He came back to himself. It looked like a smooth move.
He did have one game injured where he had less than 50% game time. Get rid of that 98. I think you're getting someone priced at 95 who can go what he did post-buy, which is 101. That early buy makes it a tough starting selection. In terms of my and draft rankings, I've got him there at D4. D5, and this will change depending what role it is in the preseason. I feel like Harry Sheezer will play midfield. They're going to give that same apprentice role to.
But if you're a North Melbourne supporter and you saw, I mean, Cherry's not.
Cherry's all right.
No, he's not that, you're getting absolutely razzed up by. But if it was LDU, Wardlaw, Sheezel, McKercher, that was your four or five through the midfield. Like, if you're a North Melbourne supporter, you're getting excited. If you lose, you lose. But you're excited.
Unfortunately, no Taron, which would have got me excited, but yes. In which case, you're going to see him come off. We thought that's going to happen to Dacos. Dacos kept going when he went in the midfield.
Yeah.
But if he's half back,
has he got the speed and running of Dacos? I didn't realise how good a runner Nick Dacos was. And that was the bit that I think a lot of us missed, was how good a runner he was.
So he went just pretty solid at that 97, 98 round. He spent a bit of time forward, which again he might do this year. So that's why I can see him dropping out. But if he gets that half back role without Zeeble, without Hall, and it's all him.
Yeah.
Is it no?
I think North's game style would change.
He could be D2. D6 to round out the top six, and it means that I haven't got your Tommy Stewart in there.
No.
I haven't got a Wanganeen Malira, who's pretty high up there.
He's just a nice
Brayshaw
player.
Could bump in there if he gets that role. Newman finished the year last year pretty well.
No.
Duggan now, no Hearn back there.
No.
Hayden Young. Moved in the midfield back end of last year.
I'm shocked, a Freo player.
Oh, it took me a while to not put him even higher, to be honest with you.
Really? What evidence?
Average 98 when he was playing as a midfielder. Didn't do a pre-season as a midfielder. First time, never played juniors as a midfielder. He was always wing half back. just thrown in there. There's a 119 score in there when he played a bit of a defensive role on Lachie Neale that day.
Was that a 119?
With all those tackles, yeah. Yeah. And now he's going to have a full preseason in there. And they, while there's only so much ball, these, if Brayshaw's going to go 110, if Sarong's going to go 110, how much can all those three mids go? But when you've got neither of them to burst forward from a stoppage and get the ball going, they're going to get the ball in his hands. I think he can do at least the 98 he did when he was in the midfield last year.
Mm. Well, you know what? I think Andy Brayshaw should be out in a wing and then letting Hayden Young do the kicking and having Andy being able to get forward and back.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I think I put the thing out there. The midfielders, he had more than 40% centre bounces all year. He was the third lowest contested possession rate behind a Dacos who... Well, don't need the contested possessions when you're running forward. And
he could play a side bottom role out in those wings so perfectly. Anyway.
Midfield, this is where it is a little bit boring, but it's also where we see so many swings every year that we go in there expecting it to be steel, lead, whatever. And I haven't, looking at these lists, there might be one there, but I haven't really found one yet, but I'm looking forward to the preseason.
Well, riff through them, and unless I disagree, I'm just going to say fine.
Bont, number one.
Fine.
Number one last year, and he's going to play the same role.
And everyone loves Bont. If you don't love Bont as a player, DM me and tell me why.
Tom Green, number two.
Yeah, I love him.
What did he do last year? 109, finished last five, 122 when he came back from that little injury.
I reckon he's in that window too where another preseason he might really get the development out of it.
Said there's a vision of him.
He's funny too. He's got a good sense of humour, Tom Green.
Jordan Dawson, number three. Playing midfield, I think finished last year around that mark, 118 he averaged post-by. He could challenge, and his CBAs went up post-by too for that one.
Wonder what he scored.
He could challenge Bont.
What he scored when Matt Crouch returned to the side.
Last five, 105. Okay. I think it hurt Fleabaggers, who had him captain. I think he needed a 128 or something. I don't think he would have won anyway, Fleabaggers. He would have hit the lead, but it would have forced... I think the team was Wise Ocean Podge. He ended up getting him. He would have got Newman out and got Houston in to catch him and got him. Dawson needed the 125, and that's when Crouch was in. Plus, it's when they'll go on direct to text trying to get the 10.
Yeah.
Andy Brayshaw, M4, it is.
What did he finish last year?
Finished last year with a 110 average. 116 last five.
Yeah.
Start of the season slow with that knee complaint. Wasn't going great.
Had sort of back to
also real life.
I know that might have been.
You still seem to score, but fully fit, you'd think he's.
He ended with 29 disposals 5 weeks in a row last year.
Couldn't get that 30.
Yeah. It was 6 weeks in a row, maybe, whatever it was.
Rory Laird in there, even though he had a bit of a down one last year, but the down one was a 109, post by 113.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he went over Dawson.
Well, the year before he went to 120.
Because if Crouch is playing, if they need to...
It helps him.
Yeah, but also if the coach needs to pull a trick, they've got two dead set midfielders that Dawson might be the one that goes, you need to go back and control whatever's going on down there if we're under the palm pool or whatnot. I don't know.
His average was impacted. Led to bounce back. He scored a 57 round. When he got that big... You watched him versus West Coast. We didn't realise West Coast were... what West Coast were, but he said, he's going to be the highest scoring player again, back-to-back after the year before. Then he got a 57 round one when people paid big ticket that 50-degree day, that sweaty day
at Giants. Yeah, and the Giants came from four goals down or something.
But a lot, that might have been built in that 104 pre-buy average, but it was also when you look back, and that's when Rochelle was getting centre bounces, that's when Rankin was getting a couple, when Saligo, when they were trying to go really quick in there, and it was just too quick for him.
Yeah.
Whereas when they went back to what they did when contest, he was in his best, when Crouch came back in, Keys win came back tackles in midway through, it's a bit slower, he can then get involved, is when he did the 113. So it's the big question will be, are they going to start round one with Dawson, Laird and Crouch and
I think
Keys
they will.
And go slow and go what they
and
know,
big Rob,
big bodies? Or do they think, let's get that spark, Rochelle's in, Saligo's in?
All I'd say is they're not spark players. Like Rochelle ended up being omitted last year. Saligo ended up being omitted last year. It's not like the spark of if you're starting and I'm obviously choosing some good names here, like a Petrarca. When Rainer was going in there and you're like, well, Rainer doesn't do anything in there. What? Like They're what? Still not at that stage where you know if they're going to go in there, they're going to get the footy.
It's going to help Laird if it is a if they go back to that old traditional, crowd, which were yeah. They were finishing, they were pressing for the finals with that yeah. kick, and if they had a, no one would have wanted to play.
Oh, the kick, yeah, the
Benny Keys,
yeah, the goal.
Errol Goulden, I've got at M. What's that then? Six, M six.
Yeah, no dramas there.
Which might be a slight regression, but it's hard to see how someone gets that amount of ball with that role he played.
Did
which
he
is
have,
on the
did
wing
have forward status last year as well?
Yeah, started with
so forward. He'll lose, yeah.
So 122 he finished the season with in the last five. When his CBA's actually bumped up, I know they've got Adams in there. I know yeah. they've got James Jordan in there. We mentioned, I think Warner needs to play more in there this year than they did last year, but they obviously haven't got Mills.
Another one that Horse got a bit overcomplicated with early, those games where he was yeah, playing Packers. Just half forward and that, you're like, just get him up the ground, get him on a wing or get him in the midfield because he can run all day and he loves to connect.
So he could, again, but I feel like teams are going to have to watch his running. But maybe he can't keep up with him. You see some
they
of
get
the
him
stuff
out of an
doing.
Academy.
Yeah, but yeah, still no one bid on him until pick yeah. 32.
So what did they get him for?
Pick 32. But might have had to give up pick 60 and 65 or something
yeah,
for him.
Might be nice. That'd be nice.
Zachy Merritt, M7, just ooh. Does it every year. I think he's played 10 seasons in the comp, and in 7 of those 10, he's gone 107 plus. Which no
the debate around who's better, Parrish or Merritt, is so put clear. To bed.
Yeah. Well, now he even gets a bit of the tough stuff. Merritt.
He tackles. Does the tough stuff, mate. Remember the tackle against, was it Richmond when they were charging forward in a close game? I don't know. He did like a lunging tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, dream time, yeah.
So it's hard to bet against him going less than 107. He did 113 last year, 114. Post by 120 to finish, he's just going to be the safe bet. The one which is a bit of the flyer who I've got at M8, who was very disappointing last year, I'm going to put it down to more so body over system, a new system, was Josh Dunkley, who we all had high hopes for. He went from a 110 2022 from just 50% CBAs. We've seen his history in the past. Every time he gets more than 50%, he gets massive scores. Went to the Lions, more midfield time out of the Bever rotation, 81% CBAs. If you told me at 81% CBAs, I would have thought he was going to go 115 last year. He went 103 and got worse as the year went on. After he came back from that little calf nick when he got subbed off and then missed a couple of weeks, came back, I think he went 91 in his, or 92 last five, 91 in finals. So with ample opportunity. Who knows? Is it because the ball just goes to Neil?
I've never been a
Dunkley man.
Nah.
So that then means players like a Taranto wasn't in my eight, a Parrish who I'm hot on, a Sarong who should get better. Jack Steele, does he bounce back? I think they're going a bit quicker these days.
So you reckon Brayshaw will score higher than Sarong?
Yeah, I think I'd rather Sarong as a player, but I think Brayshaw will because Brayshaw... He bobs up. Even that first half of the year when he was struggling with his knee, he's still going 110. Mm. He bobs up, gets marks.
Okay.
Rucks, again, bit vanilla, going the top two from last year, but it's not an easy one this year because there's two others putting their hand up. So it's English Marshall for me.
Yeah.
Because the age demographic, Solo. The question mark on Rowan Marshall is that this Jackson Hayes comes back, missed all last year with the ACR. He came in that
did he
mature
miss all last
age,
year. Didn't he played the end of last year.
I don't think he played. Jackson Hayes didn't play.
I swear he played. Here we go.
We'll pull him up. So does he then make Rowan Marshall more of a 70% to look after him a bit more, which can be a little bit of a regression? But in terms of a Timmy English, who always had the threat of a Jordan Sweet down his neck to come in and take, whether it's a shared role or give him a rest, he's now gone. He's gone to Port. So they've got no backup ruckman on the list at the Dogs. The only one they've got is the man who says he hates playing ruck, and at Frio, part of the reason why he wanted to get Trags, he didn't like playing ruck, and then the news came out that Rory Lobb wants to spend some more time in the ruck to get into the game. So
you know, he returned round 24.
Did he get a kick?
No. Kick the goal.
So 87% centre bounces.
Had six touches.
Marshall got, which is pretty well his time on ground. So every time he was there, he didn't spend any time forward. I could see that dropping a little bit, which means that 117 might be hard to sustain. And when you've got a Maxi Gorn who's now solo, and again, someone else who doesn't even have an obvious backup, he could put his hand up there and be. It's just his age is the query. I think, what's he now, 33,
34? I'm backing Max Gawn in. Captain, and you'd say the club's under a little bit of pressure, wouldn't you?
A heap of pressure.
If you're captain, you know, you're sort of leading that ship, I expect Max to have a big season.
Brody Grundy could compete. When he's solo, he competes. But he, even before when he was solo, like we kept thinking he's going to back up that 120, and he didn't. He just didn't quite look the player
I remember him saying Max Gawn used to absolutely wallop him running. Like, is he not? I thought he was much fitter.
I thought he was meant to be that, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, Max used to destroy him. What's the price difference between a Brody Grundy and a Marshall?
Well, Brody Grundy's price at 75 to be $677,000. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Marshall, who doesn't have the early buy. So the old school set and forget, no early buy. He's at 1.04 million, 116 price set. So
it's caught 400 or nearly.
For me, I don't think Marshall's an option to start. I think it's either the cheap Gawn Grundy, but they've got the bye. If you want to avoid the bye, do you go down to a Cherry, who we'll talk about look more ruck tactics when we go through the position.
Gee, I reckon Grundy's tasty. On a small ground.
And then you've got a bit of extra money saved with that. Can you then spend up and get English, who doesn't have the early bye? But then he's not even doing contact drills. He's got some concussion thing again. He seems to have it every pre-season, old Timmy English, but he lops in the
big
old llama.
He'll lob up the big llama. He'll be right.
And dominates. Forwards. Not that pretty, Zave.
Have they tightened it up?
Well, there's no Taranto, no Goulden, no Butters, no Rosie.
Dunkley.
No Dunkley. So the top scoring forward from last year, who's still eligible, and who I've got on top this year, and this is one you'd like to debate, Jack McRae.
Ooh.
So he's been a 116 plus in the
past. Bailey Smith gone for the year. Not that they were always the two that seemed to get pushed to the outside, Smith and McRae. Maybe he's just purely in. I don't know. You know my thoughts.
So McRae last year,
being a fantastic player, I just think the game's getting a bit quick.
He went 2020, 75% centre bounces, 2021, 78%, 2022, 64%, dropped down 12%. 12.
What's the figure?
Last year, it was 36%.
So one in three. Is there a figure that you look at and
I'd love 60 plus.
60 plus, yeah.
Well, even that, he went 104. So I don't think I think the days are gone where he's not the main man. It's Bont, who's 100% in there, who was All-Australian, probably should have won a Brownlow. Yeah. There's Libba, who probably should have been All-Australian. They're not moving. They're giving minutes, and this is why we need to see the preseason. Riley Sanders, their draftee. And Bevo sometimes gets that little thing on the draftee. He could end up being that man because Bont, as much as we love him, he does tackle, led the comp at times. Libba, same thing, tackles, but they lack a little bit of the pace. Of McRae in there as well might be a little bit slow. Do they throw in a Caleb Daniel? Do they throw in a few other players? But I even think worse, because I don't think it's going to be worse than the 36% he had last year. As you said, last year Bailey Smith had 30%. So even chuck that 30% on McRae, he's back to that magic 60%. Mm. I don't think Treloar, who was that quick player, I don't think he's going to see that much time.
He's a player that you and I lock horns over.
Yeah, you love him, don't you?
What do you do the last five?
Scores.
Yeah. Get your magic wand up. Have a little tinker. Give us a bit of Adam Treloar.
Adam Treloar, last five last year, average 117. 86% set of bounce.
Sorry. Sorry. So you say it in clear voice. Hang on, let me clear it.
I've still got my
go on, say
117 the average.
Does that surprise you?
Especially those hamstrings at the age.
I'm a Treloar man.
So Jack McRae, I think even worst case, he's going to be M1. The decision is, do you start with him?
F1,
sorry. Good to see you listening. That's just a teaser. Is he going to get more centre bounce to be a worthwhile pick? And I think he does get a bit of slack up there. He's a good player, still their vice-captain. Sam Flanders, I've got at F2, finished last year, 105 post-buy once Stewie Jew left, 112 last five to be the number one forward in the game.
I've said it. I'm on record as an absolute Matt. Did I say it on this podcast?
Potentially.
Absolute Maddie won't win it, but worth having a look. Noah Anderson polled how well in the Brownlow.
Well.
Did he have a good year, Noah Anderson?
Not very well.
It didn't, did he?
No.
So the back end of the Gold Coast year, Flanders, we had 30-30-30-30-30. You going to think the Gold Coast are going to be any better this year?
I think under Dimmer they have to be, don't they?
250-1, get a top 10 or something in the Brownlow. He might pull.
Well, every time you hear.
Absolute trickery out his ass. He's mates with Sarong, drafted from Gippsland. I asked him.
Pick 11, same draft as.
Randomly asked him, and he said he had so much power. He was a small. He was a forward with the power. And then they tried to turn him into something else, and now he's a gun runner. So I reckon he's now got a good blend. He's going to have the confidence of a new coach.
And Hardwick puts him in there. So they're starting.
He has to play in there.
Flanders, Anderson and Rao.
He'll be
Took Miller half back, half forward or something.
Took. Get up the ground. Do the hard roll now because you're a good runner.
The big humper?
Yeah, the hump probably still a bit of forward mid. Yeah, you'd think so. Now, that's an outrageous comment on Flanders. I just think he's going to find so much footy.
Well, Dave Swallow came out yesterday. It's good. I think the social media or the media communications at Giants plays their fancy because they always, like Christmas treat, I think Warney put the prices and they commented, oh, Ned Flanders at 91 right. Forward. That's your Christmas present for the year or something.
Okay,
and then asked the question at the presser and Dave Swallow, I think it was yesterday, or who's standing out at training, and he said, oh, Sam Flanders, obviously getting a bit of buzz, so looking fit. He's my F2. Taylor Adams, F3, which is a big bump from where he did a 77 last
Taylor
year.
Taylor Adams, I disagree with that. But yeah.
40% centre bounces last year. Playing that, he got pushed out towards the end of the year. Obviously got the injury as well, but post-buy was 38%. He was playing more that half forward with the pressure.
I reckon if you had Horse Longmire and said, you've got a leader in the forward line, we'll do everything right, can pinch it for 30%. He's old, he's a little bit injury prone.
He'll play that same role.
I think so. Well, he's not knocking out Warner, Parker, Goulden. Who else is in there for Sydney? Mills when he returns. I just think there's probably five or six in front of him. You're talking James Jordan.
Well, I don't have him doing the. He's done 113 twice. I don't have him doing that. I think I've got him to average around that 90 mark, but that's all you need this year to be a F3. I still think he'll be a decent pick to start with. We'll know from the opening round, and that's the good and the bad thing. The good thing is if he gets 80% set of bounces, scores a 105, 100% of the switch-on coaches are going to start with him. The question will be if he doesn't score that, how are we going to play the Taylor Adams card? But we'll go through more of that in the pre-season. F4, Dylan Moore. Love him as a player. I was surprised after he finished. I think he went 101 post-buy 2022 when he was still just 22 with 42% centre bounces. I thought, well, he's there mid. They've got Newcomb. They've got, what's his name? Warple. They've got these sort of hard-nosed midfielders.
Yeah.
Dylan Moore could be that forward centre midfielder who's can obviously score. He's averaging 90s as a half forward in a tough role. He's going to come in there now and be that player. 2% last year, he attended a couple of centre bounces for the year. Obviously, it was Will Day. It was Warple back in there. So I don't think, even with the injury of Day. I don't think he's. I think it's going to be more reward in there.
You look so hard to find that player who's willing to do that role.
They're scoring better this high half forward. It's less of a graveyard shift than the wing these days.
But not many teams have got good ones.
Yeah.
So if you've got a good one, you don't really want to. You've got the bloke that can run and never get a kick. But if to find one that can find the footy, do all the right things, run hard.
But even if he does what he did last year, which is an 88, that's what I've got him projected at, and that has him at F4, which shows how thin these forwards are. Dusty Martin, F5. Speaking of finishing the year last towards the back end of the year, finishing strong. 105 his last five games, 100 post-buy. Got some centre bounces, but also just wins his one-on-ones. He's looking fit. New coach, maybe reinvigorated. I wouldn't pick him, no question I wouldn't pick him, but he did 90 in the end last year, and again, as I said, that's enough to get him in the top six.
I think we'll be Richmond-less this year, won't we, probably?
Yeah.
I'll get sucked into Jacob Hopper.
I think Richmond are going to struggle, and I think I think Richmond and Geelong will be the two.
I think Geelong might bounce back this year. There you go. That's my early prediction. Not towards premierships, but I think they'll be down the bottom of the eight.
Final one, F6, who I think can end up the preseason much higher because it sounds like he might be playing midfield, which might not be a great thing, but he can find the footy. It's just, as long as he's not forward. If he's half back or midfield, he can, and that's Caleb Daniel, who had a poor year last year. I think he's been, well, he still averaged 90 for the year, but 97 pre-buy when he's a bit of midfield, bit half back, spent a bit of time in the forward line to finish the year, 79 average, last five of 69. I'm surprised that that's another test to see if you're listening. You didn't listen then.
Well, that's the old-fashioned dinner for two.
F6, I reckon he could screw it up if he's after the preseason.
Don't throw me under the bus like that.
No, it's good. You're odd. You're odd. What were you looking at? Cricket score.
No, yeah.
Our boy hasn't got five for you,
has he? 260 and Big Head, he got 119.
Or the other Joseph. Head's good, isn't he?
So you're throwing me under the bus for looking at a cricket score.
No, I'm glad you
apologise.
I'm sorry, Xavier.
Thank you.
Only because they got the wicket. So he's, which means players missing out. Toby, who came out yesterday and said, I'm not playing midfield anymore. He's just a forward.
Could he win the Coleman?
Yeah. Oh, there's some good forwards.
Are there?
Curnow, Cameron.
What are they winning him with?
Don't know. I don't think he can win the Coleman, but I think he can be the best player in the comp. Interesting to see what Shay. It's Shay, because they said it's Shay. He's not Shay, Shay. Can do under the new coach. Is he going to spend more time midfield? He's pushing up there. Rochelli, as I mentioned before, he started the year in the centre bounces and scored really well, then played pure forward. It'll be interesting to see what the Crows are going to do. There's a few Flyers who are going to come up. Is it going to be Connor McDonald? Is it going to be Zach Fisher? Pfeiffer?
No, I'm asking
questions. I thought you were going to say he's got your hand up with five.
Yeah, no, because I want you to come back to me. What? So dismissive about Toby Green, who did do a little bit of everything last year. Curnow, how many goals did he kick against West Coast last year?
11, was it, or 10?
And did he play twice?
10 and 10, maybe.
Taylor? Walker?
10 and 10.
10 and something or other, yeah, whatever. They both had a field day. Toby Green finished fourth with 66 goals.
And they lost to West Coast. Mm. Yep.
That's twice now I've come at you late in this time.
Couple of Flyers, and with the ranks, they update. With those who've got the season guide before, we update them. As the pre-season goes, as news goes on, all the way up until round one, but names who could even be flying, if it's a Zach Fisher, is it a Luke Jackson with Darcy under a bit of a cloud? Is it a Jai Caldwell? Who's going to get that midfield mix at Essendon? Gresham, what's he going to do at Essendon? Is he part of the midfield mix? I know you like a Jack Billings, but these are the sorts of names which we're going
to play around with. Play around with
that's the sort of region Errol Gordon was this time last year. So while we're giving these ranks, start of Jan, they obviously get updated all the way through.
Just quickly, hard to put a figure on it, but how many of those sort of Hail Mary players do you think a premiership side sort of, or a very good side, needs to start with? Yeah, like, and I'm just picking Jack Billings as just a random name, so not saying Jack, but like the Jack Billings type, which could get 60 or end up getting 100 and have a season in their life.
Yeah, and win the Hilux.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you need, there's no... Nothing good by starting a Dustin Martin Price at 90 and he does 93, or a Dylan Moore at 87 and he goes 91.
Yeah.
You need those players. Price in the 70s, and that's what Taylor Adams can be. Price at 77, if he can go to a 95. You get
correct. You need a handful of them, don't you?
McRae, is he going to be Price at 92? Does he go to 102? In which case, yes, you need him. Yeah. If he hovers around that 90, you've spent the most expensive forward on a player who's just averaging 90, what he's priced at. When someone else has gone, a Billings who can jump 15, 20 points. That forward line, so we always give ourselves, you'd like them to outperform their price by around the 20 mark. But this year, with the lack of depth in the forwards, you just need someone, is it a Fife who's priced at 54? Can he do an 80? And that's only going to be 7 points below the F6 you're about to press.
I'm not talking about Fife on me Thursday afternoon.
We're going to look forward to the player request, which will be the next podcast before the season guide comes out. So, again, we'll might be a bit more of a week than we do the next podcast just before the season guide launches. I'll put a poll out there, a tweet and an email to get some player requests. Those most requested will run through our projections and thoughts on their prospects, and then the season guide kicks in where all the podcasts become as part of that season guide where we really get into the nitty-gritty. And what term do you use before? Behind the curtain?
Behind the curtain, maybe, whatever it is. But you can early subscribe now.
You can subscribe now. Mirrorsmagic.com.au. Click on the subscription link or membership link and You'll see it there, $29.95 for the season, pre-season, where updates all the way up until round one, or $34, an extra $5 to get Supercoach added as well.
And last one too, because a few people have asked me, it doesn't automatically roll on, does it?
No.
No, so people like expect that.
Well, you're just talking when you walked in here. The best thing about losing your bank card when it expires is that you finally get notifications.
It doesn't roll on. So,
this thing's... Yeah. And then, I've got to cancel that. So I hate those subscription rights. So if you can't log in, it's because they've all been cancelled last year. If you can't log in and you've bought one this year, it's because there's no content yet. Thanks for doing the early subscription. There is the other benefit. One, it's the charity component, but it's also you'll go in the draw if you have done the pre-registration before the season guide kicks in. You'll go in the draw to win a full season of the in-season package when that kicks off in or after round one. Thanks for your time, Zave. And everyone, and we'll chat to you all in the next couple of weeks.
Great to be here.
Magic moments when two hearts are kept.